This is Rachel Swanson, and you are listening to the Refine and Restore podcast. Welcome to the podcast where I help refine away the areas in your life that are holding you back and restore your heart and mind back to what is true. From faith, relationships, purposeful living, personal and spiritual growth insights, this podcast is designed to provide inspiration and encouragement to help you grow into the person that you are meant to be. Have you ever sat down with someone and felt like they are an automatic best friend? This is the kind of guest I'm bringing to you today on the podcast. Ruth Jo Simons, also known for her company Grace Laced, first started as a watercolor artist sharing God's beauty and grace through her artwork. She's become a best-selling author of multiple gorgeous books, and I know because I own them, a mama entrepreneur and a national speaker. She shares her journey of God's grace intersecting daily life with the word and paintbrush through an online shop at gracelaced.com and her Instagram community of more than 100,000. Ruth and her husband, Troy, are grateful parents to six boys, their greatest adventure. One thing I love about what she mentions about her boys is that she lovingly refers to them as man cubs. So cute. Ruth is the author of Beholding and Becoming, The Art of Everyday Worship, and Grace Laced, which won a 2018 Christian Book Award. Honestly, I love this woman so much. She contains so much wisdom, which we get to experience today on the podcast as we discuss finding God's glory and grace in the everyday, even sometimes mundane, of life. She mentions how her Instagram reel is mainly a feed of her preaching to herself as she adheres to the truth of God's promises through his word. You will definitely be refreshed through this episode by the end of it. Ruth, I've admired you from afar for a long time now, and I'd love to hear a little bit more about your current passions and where God's taken you in the past few years with your artwork and writing. I think others would really love to hear about that.
Thanks so much for having me, Rachel. I love being here. And thank you for connecting online. And it's good to tell our stories. So, I really just started all of Grace Laced and the work I do online really as even a meditation time for myself so that I could meditate on the Word of God, think on Him. And at the time, I remember my sixth man cub was on my lap during nap times, and he'd get up early from a nap, and I'd be like trying to squeeze in a little painting time. And some of my earliest flat lay photos were of his little hand on the table while I was painting. And so I still remember the early days on Instagram were just a time where I was expressing myself, like getting back into art, because I had been blogging for some time. But while I was blogging, it was really just an exercise of getting my thoughts out and being in the discipline of writing more. But Instagram really opened up the opportunity for me just to paint and share that work a little bit day by day. And the intention originally wasn't to launch some major lifestyle brand that it is now or to write a book. I wasn't actually aiming for those things. I was actually really just aiming to use one more medium and that particular season of life to experience God all the more. And so sharing that process caused others to join me and experience it with me. And that's really how it started.
And you say your sixth man cub, which I love. Yeah. So you have six little man cubs. Yes. And you started this when the sixth one was just born. Is that right? Or you
I think he was almost a year old. And, okay. I wouldn't have done it when my older boys were one or two because, by this point, I had big helpers at home. So I always like to tell women, every season is different. And don't expect when you're a new mama of one or two littles at home, don't expect to do things that mothers that have teens at home get to do because it's a different season. I had helpers who helped with changing diapers and do dinner prep. And, it was just a different season of life for us. But even then, I wasn't doing as much as I do now that the boys are even older.
And I mean, the same way, when I first kind of dabbled into writing, my kids were still pretty young. My twins were three and my daughter was two. And so all three of them were still in diapers, I think. And so, but I just started dabbling with it because I just felt like that season I needed that creative outlet for myself. Mm-hmm. And I felt like as I continued to pray about it, that God was leading me into that. And I don't know if you felt that too of like, okay, God, I know that it's not maybe the perfect timing. There's never the perfect timing, but it just felt like maybe God was beckoning you into expressing yourself in this way to share it with others, right?
And I think sometimes it's a good way to kind of test your own heart and what you're willing to sacrifice to create and work on the thing that you feel called to is to really kind of look at your why. And for me, there were a lot of folks who were blogging early on as a business or trying to make a supplemental income. And I think that's totally virtuous and great if that's what the Lord calls you to. But for me at the time, I knew it was just that as a pastor's wife and as somebody who was counseling and doing a lot of things during nap times, I just needed an outlet where I got to share what I was growing in and what I was learning. And so I remember this one year in blogging, I literally committed to blogging every single day for 365 days. And, you know, I wasn't getting paid to do that. It wasn't that my blog posts were going viral and I was getting so many clicks. It wasn't even about that. It was really just doing the work. It was really just to test my own heart and say, if for no other audience, but just the Lord, are you willing to work out in your own heart the discipline of saying, Lord, I'm seeing this. And at that time, Gracelace was always about finding grace in the everyday. Mm-hmm. And that was my tagline from the start. It was always for the purpose of saying God's grace intersects with my daily life. And I'm still writing about that now. But at the time, it was really like, this can't be just something I pursue when I'm at seminary or on the mission field or as a pastor's wife. How does it apply to right now, to the mundane everyday that sometimes I can't see God's grace at work? How do I take note of that? And so I was writing about that, and that weaned me from needing the approval of clicks or for posts to go viral or for it to make me money or for it to be one of those things. And so as it grew and I started gaining an audience, it helped and even helps me today keep in check that the reason and the why was never just to make supplemental income or just so that I could have a career or I could feel like I was doing something meaningful. No, I was finding meaning in how God was at work in the life he had already given me. So it wasn't that I want to create a new life for myself so that I can see God use me in this new life. But Lord, right now, in the picking up of toys off the ground, in the matching socks, in counseling folks after the babies go to bed, how do I see you at work right now? And so then seasons can change and your life can change and your roles can change and the ministry outlets can change, but then your why doesn't have to change. So once you get that in place, and so I like to tell people, you know, one of the best ways to kind of get into it is to say, just, you know, rather than try to look for where success will be, just do the work. Just do the work of writing or creating or sharing or preaching the gospel when it's to two teenagers from your youth group rather than on the mission field. Do the work, because the work, whether it's in the simplicity of your home, in the unseen corners of your lives, the Lord sees and he honors that. And someday, maybe you will get the stage. Maybe you will get a microphone. Maybe you will get to write a best-selling book. But whatever he gives you then will not be the end goal. That success will not be the final thing. The final thing is, Lord, I will do this unto you wherever you might have me. And so I think as creatives, we have to get that right first and foremost. Otherwise you do burn out, because if you're looking for success and validation of your work, that could come and go.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I understand that completely, because same thing, you know, of just really trying to check my own heart as I've been pursuing a lot of this author journey and writing as well. And I've had to constantly go back and check my heart of like, okay, why am I doing this? Am I doing this for other people's affirmation? Or am I doing this just because God has created me this way? And this is how I serve and love others through the gifts that he's given me. And it's not always perfect. That's why sometimes I have to pull back. That's why I sometimes have to make adjustments. And my heart is to continue to keep going back to that place of, I'm not doing this just for myself. You know, I'm doing this because God created me to be that way. And so it's obviously led for you too. It's led to multiple books. And your next book is called Beholding and Becoming. And it says, there was part of the copy on the back, and it said, today is an opportunity for God to demonstrate his love and his faithfulness in the midst of your mundane. Can you give me more thoughts? I mean, I know you kind of talked about that, but more thoughts about that statement of like beholding and becoming.
Well, I think we live in the light of social media so much, and we live in the light of seeing others do really big things. And I think those are wonderful things. I mean, I am always in awe of how the Lord can give some of us opportunities to go to the ends of the earth. Some of us get to start nonprofits. Some of us get to share the gospel and see a total life change in somebody's life. There are different things that all of us are called to do. But the reality is God pursues us and gives us opportunity to be in awe of him and to worship him and to meet him intimately, not just when we do those extraordinary things, mm-hmm. not just when we have a miracle happen in our lives through some extraordinary circumstance, but really in our everyday lives. And so I wanted to kind of dedicate this book, and it's kind of an ironic, I mean, I don't know how many readers will pick up on this, but I tried to make the book extravagant in beauty, mm-hmm. but really simple in message. The message is that these normal everyday circumstances that we all experience, failure, family, repetition, waiting, just the mundane, like all these things that we have to, we experience every day, they're not just circumstances we survive mm-hmm. in order to get to the real calling. It's that those are the everyday moments that God actually pursues us. We actually can behold him. We can meet Christ there. And in turn, worship is not turning on the praise song and lifting your hands and having a big, huge experience. It can be that.
Yeah.
But it can also very much be us turning our gaze to the Lord and saying, I'm in awe of you right now. I mm-hmm. see your face right now. I will worship you and choose to align my heart with the truth of the gospel right now while I'm cleaning out my fridge, while I'm, you know, setting the table for dinner, while I'm once again talking to my child. And not that I deal with every scenario in everyday life, but I draw out 16 different ways in which maybe we think our lives are pretty boring or mundane. And those are the things, those are the places where the Lord shows himself to be extravagant in love and really detailed in his pursuit of us.
So it seems like you encourage women a lot to press into the ordinary and find that extraordinary. And is this something that you feel like you've mastered, or are you preaching to yourself a lot on this one?
Oh, I'm always preaching to myself. And I think I've said this before, but I think my Instagram is essentially one big, long series of curated conversations I have with myself. And you guys just get to be a part of that.
And that's why they're really so good.
I mean, I honestly think that that is really what it is. And mm-hmm. and at the end of the day, it's also why I don't actually pre-plan my Instagram posts. I don't mm-hmm. write them 30 days in advance. And I probably could do that. And sometimes it might be even a wise use of my time.
Easier.
But
yeah.
currently, that's not how I do it, because the reason why I have been on Instagram this whole time has in part been to share what I'm learning in real time. And sometimes I have a great image to go along with it, and sometimes I don't. Yeah. Sometimes I have to wait and I can't post today because I'm really just not processing well. And so whatever it is, if you feel like you relate to me on Instagram, it's probably because we're going through the same thing, maybe not the same circumstance, but that's why I wrote a book like this, because it's not about the circumstance. It's about meeting the Lord and how he's building in us a greater ability to gaze on him and not our circumstances. Mm-hmm. And the idea of becoming, all of us want to be somewhere in 5 years. And usually we label that with, I want to have finished remodeling my house. I want to be at this place in my career. I want my kids to be able to tie their shoelaces, whatever it is. We kind of say, we want to be here
this
in 5 years. Yep, there you go. And so that's not wrong. And those are wonderful goals and wonderful things, but we mm-hmm. forget the fact that we are actually being shaped into a somebody that will become day by day in 5 years time, the pattern of thought and the way our heart beats for things, what we love will actually shape us. And mm-hmm. so sometimes we're so eager to sign up for a class that will give us a skill in 5 years time, or we're so eager to sign up for things that will change the label or the title or the role we play in 5 years. But we forget that our daily gaze, what we chase after daily, will actually shape who we become. And we'll wake up one day and we'll be somebody different based on what we've loved for 5 years.
Yeah. But there seems like there's that tension, right? Between, mm-hmm. you know, pressing forward and looking towards the things that God is inviting you into, but then also staying content with where he has you.
And I think that's why it's about worship, because I think our daily choices and whether we run hard after a goal or whether we say, I'm willing to wait, whatever that is, has more to do with what is your treasure than how you're spending your time. Our time always follows our treasure, right? And so if you're treasuring the Lord, then you can moment by moment say, hey, you know what? This feels unworshipful. This is about me. So I'm going to adjust this a little bit. You know, I'm going to adjust the way I'm spending my time. Man, I've been staring at my phone. Why have I been staring at my phone? Well, because I I'm treasuring something else. And that could be fill in the blank, somebody's approval of me. That could be not wanting to miss out. That could be wanting to gain a leg up in something. Mm-hmm. And if that becomes about worshiping myself and treasuring myself, then you, as a believer, as a follower of Christ, he loves us too much to let us get away with that. And so you start feeling it in your system and you're like, wow, I am worshiping self. I'm not made for this. And so the goal of the book is to constantly show us what's better. Jesus is better. Worshiping him is better. Seeing his beauty is better than analyzing your own stuff. Because in the light of the beauty of Christ, the lens to seeing our own lives becomes a lot more clear. And we can evaluate our circumstance and what we should do next a little bit clearer.
So how do you keep a balance on pressing forward and becoming mm-hmm. that person that God desires you to become while also still beholding that present glory in the everyday moments?
Yeah. Well, I think for one thing,
I know you said worship, but maybe is there some tangible ways? Yes. Like, what does that look like?
Yeah. I think for one thing, for me, I totally find that I really think that social media is a lot more detrimental than we realize. And we don't want to admit it. And we struggle with it because it's an effective tool.
Yeah.
You and I are connected because of social
media. I know.
And I have a career in part because social media allowed
exactly
a window into my life.
Mm-hmm.
However, I was just saying to the boys this morning, I said, we literally do not know because we do not have evidence yet. We do not know how this will shape an entire generation.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what it will be like for an entire generation of young people to wake up with a device in their hands mm-hmm. and to sit connected to it all day long. We don't know what that does to them physically.
Yeah.
Like, our eyeballs get tired and we know that there's some evidence of what that's doing to us, but we also know that we're shaped by what we look at every day. And that's what the book is about. And I don't necessarily talk directly about cell phones, but I know for me, if I am staring at even a beautiful social media feed or a beautiful story, if I'm looking at somebody else's life all day long, I will not be able to live mine. Mm-hmm. I will not. And so even though social media is part of my job, I actually stay off for most of the day. I try to limit that to certain periods of time. And that changes. I mean, I'm not legalistic about it. And
yeah,
there are times when we're hustling extra hard because we're in a big sale retail season for Grace Life, or I'm in a Brooke promo season, which I'm about to enter into.
Yeah.
There's certainly room to have to be online more than other times. But I know that the most productive, if any of your listeners, if any of them resonate with this, I think a lot of times we wonder, why am I not feeling inspired? Mm-hmm. Why do I not know what to do next? I don't know why, but she seems so much more creative than me, or she writes so much better, or how do they have energy? Whenever you're asking questions like that, where you're like, how is that person doing those things? It kind of helps just take a step back and go, am I being really prodigal with my time? Do I just squander it? Am I just squandering my time? So it helps to kind of look at, where are you putting your time? Now, Apple might give you a record of how you're spending your time on your phone, but you might just write it down and say, how am I spending my days? Am I taking a long walk and having a conversation with the Lord? Do I spend time studying his creation, or am I looking at magazines? Mm-hmm. Am I spending more time on Pinterest, or am I taking time to actually study and be in awe in the word of God? Because I'm telling you, Pinterest probably commands more of my heart's attention and saying, what should I do next? Let's look to Pinterest versus how do I look to what God has in store for me? I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying, if you look at the way we spend our time, it usually kind of tells you where you're being miserly and where you're being prodigal. Mm-hmm. You're probably squandering certain places and you're being really stingy about your time with the Lord, or your time being more minded in eternal things. So for me, it means I don't take a lot of time looking at other artists. I don't mm-hmm. take a lot of time studying other people's social media or reading other people's work, because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, I want to support those people and I want to know what's going on. I have to at some level, mm-hmm. but it actually robs me of creativity if I do too much.
I completely relate. And that's why, I mean, I take regular breaks from social media mm-hmm. because, and I know mm-hmm. it when I'm feeling that stagnancy in my creative ability, or just mm-hmm. that a lot of times it's like anxiety and fear just start to wrap over
me. Sure.
And, absolutely. Or even just realizing and recognizing, gosh, I haven't spent enough time with my husband or my kids lately. I feel like I've been so distracted because even sometimes you can even spend time with them, but you're so not present because you're just so distracted from all those other distractions or even just Instagram or, you know, it's just, it's hard to get back into. It is. It gets really noisy. So sometimes just pulling back from the noise is so, so helpful. But is there like a verse or a passage that you feel like God's put on your heart about that? Or maybe just in some way what he's been teaching you right now in this moment, in this season?
Well, you know, I don't know that I have any verse off the top of my head that I just claim and like I'm holding on to necessarily. I think I'm really kind of in a season of knowing that whether I eat or drink, whatever I do, do it to the glory of God. Because I think I want everything in a neat little package. I want to be like, well, I've nailed it. I work exactly 4 hours at this time, Monday through Thursday. You know, I want these compartments and say, you know, I'm a great mom. I'm a great, you know, business owner. I'm a great author because I do these things in compartments. But I don't think God works that way. I think God wants all of us. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want just 10% of our earnings. He doesn't want just, you know, us giving him our Sabbath, our this, our that. We kind of want to make it seem like, no. I took the day off, Lord. You get me today. When really, don't you think, Rachel, he wants us all the time? He wants us all in.
Every minute.
He doesn't want us to be, don't be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes. That's not so much about, you know, there's a formula for how much wine you should drink. It's actually about be so filled, like you're drunk on the Spirit. Be so filled with the Lord that he consumes you. He overtakes you. He is that presence you can't live without, that you can't experience joy without him. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's more the reality that, you know, I'm not saying anything new here, but all that content that I want to have and all that content I want to produce with, I can't have that content if I'm not living it. Mm-hmm. And so at the end of the day, it's really going, okay, Lord, if the gospel applies at all times to all things, and you don't just want to kind of give me salvation that saves me from hell and from the consequence of sin and death, you want to save me to eternal life. Mm-hmm. You want to save me to abundance. Mm-hmm. And so why am I living beggarly? Why am I living like I never have enough, that I'm always running on empty and I'm low on energy, low on whatever? If those things are coming up, that's not what you intended for me. So I'm clearly not thriving and feasting on what you have for me. So it's kind of going back to the feast and saying, I've been made to feast and live abundantly with the Lord. And so if I'm living like I'm picking up scraps off the floor, then I've missed what the gospel produces in us. And so I think that on a practical level, that does mean, yes, checking out of social media some. It does mean signing up for things that are maybe just a little bit more like not productive, like sitting on the couch for a long time and staring out the window with my kids and talking about things that we find as we look out the window. It means going for the drives that I share about sometimes on social media, where we go for a drive and we're not in cell service and I'm always sharing it like days later. Yeah. But we play an audiobook or play a sermon, and there's something for us to think on that's not about me. Like, we're not saying, hey, guys, let's all talk about what's coming up this week that we have to all get on board and doing. No, we're talking about the Lord. Mm-hmm. We're talking about C.S. Lewis telling a great story through Narnia. We're talking about something else that's, you know, a lamplighter story for the kids, where we're talking about the character that is shown through that particular character in the story. So I have to constantly, and I say this often, but I have to be in awe of somebody other than myself, because we take ourselves so seriously and we think my social media presence, my platform, my reputation, the work I produce, it ends up wanting to, and the enemy knows that we're so addicted to ourselves that he can get us distracted by that. So I have to break myself of that addiction pretty regularly.
How is God wanting you to take on the phrase beholding and becoming? Where can you start to behold his presence in your life? From carpooling kids, to working on your business, to running around in your everyday busyness. Are you becoming the person God desires you to be? Remember, it's a daily practice to seek his face, to honor him through worship, our time, and devotion. But the more we seek him, the more we will behold his magnificent presence in our life and become the person we are truly meant to be. If you want to connect with Ruth, you can find her preaching to herself on Instagram at Ruth Jo Simons, or look her up on the hashtag GraceLaced and you will find her. Her newest book, Beholding and Becoming, is releasing next week, so pre-order it now and get ready to start digging into the truths of this book and admiring her extremely gorgeous artwork in the process. My next book is also available for pre-order, titled Refine and Restore. So while you're at it, go ahead and put that in your cart too and get both so that you can receive those copies very soon. Make sure you save that receipt number for my book so that you can claim your free pre-order gift at refineandrestore.com. That's it. See you guys next week.